greetings and salutations, you kinky fucks. Welcome back for episode 126 of Kinks with Kiki. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Monday post 420. So happy Monday. Hope this is a great start to you guys' week. And we're going to go ahead and jump right into things with S&M, aka Song and Mood of this week, is going to be Moon by A. Maria. All right, so I chose that song because that has literally been my vibe for like the last 2 to 3 weeks. So it's been a lot going on. I'll get into Weekly with Kiki in a moment, but I'm going to explain why this song is a whole vibe. So I played it one night on my Instagram story and somebody, I'm not going to say who, but somebody was like, I feel like you're summoning me. And like my room is a comfy vibe for me. It's very witchy, hippie aesthetic, a lot of greenery, like potion recipes, witchcraft type things. So my room is my safe space and I get high in my room and I smoke weed in my room and like I'll record sometimes me just vibing out in my space, which is typically very low lit and like candles lit and things of that nature. Very warm. My room is very inviting, very comforting, very inviting. So like I was cackling because I'm like, not summoning. I'm like, well, in this room, that's not that all far-fetched. Like, you know, it's tarot cards hanging up. So that's just my vibe. I feel like that song matches my life aesthetic, my aesthetic in my head. And the artist, I can't find like a lot of info. I know she's young, I believe, but she's from Florida. Her name is A. Maria, and I hope it's A. Maria and not A. Mariah. I hope I'm not saying it wrong. But I can't find that song in most places. And I know she's been out a couple of years. So I even think like EPs and everything, they were at least like the last 2 to 3 years. So she's a new artist, but that song is so good. It literally is a whole mood. It's a great song, I would say, to just listen to with your partner or your person, get high to. It's a vibe. So yes, S&M, I'm going to bring that to a close, aka Song and Mood of the Week, is going to be Moon by A. Maria. And I'm going to jump right into Weekly with Kiki. So it's been a week, y'all. Like, it's been a couple of weeks, which is why there has been no episode, because I have physically just not had time. I have so much going on at work right now, and I'm trying to be consistent while also trying to be very present in the thing that pays me. So I just haven't had time. Like there's things going on with my family. There was a family emergency the night before this. Like things going on like with my grandmother. Like y'all have been down this journey into this journey with me before, when I talked about my maternal grandmother being sick in 2018 and ultimately passing away from cancer. So now I have another grandparent that's sick, and it's been interesting because I just can't explain that part, but it's been an interesting ride for me because there's so much like going on, and I'll just leave it there. But it's been, so I just had a lot going on. Like I said, an emergency a couple of nights prior to this recording, this episode, and just what's going on with my paternal grandmother, and just, it's a lot. But your girl has been busy mentally and in person, like physically. I've been doing a lot. And I said I was going to jump into just being brief with my Weekly with Kiki. Happy post 420, like happy belated 420, happy birthday weed. Like, I hope everyone who partakes in the devil's lettuce had a grand old time this weekend. I know I did, especially since the intake of the weeds, so to speak, have been very, very restrictive for me because I gave them up for Lent in all forms and variations. So I'm just getting back into the groove of things. So this high is still top tier, you know, and I love it here. But I had a great weekend. I went to the movies to see The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And baby, that was my type of movie. First of all, I'm a history buff, and this is based on a true story. It's a little embellished, and like the premise of the movie is based on actual facts, names, everything, true story. But it was that type of, I love a history movie, I love a war movie. More importantly, I love when those two things combine with action and comedy. So this was a very upbeat war movie. It wasn't an American war movie. This is all European. It was for the United Kingdom back when World War II was about to really get its swing because Germany, you know, things were happening. I won't say those names on here, but things were happening. And it was just, it got down to the point of the purpose of the movie and the biopic of the movie, but it was so entertaining to watch. And the stars of the movie made it all the better because they were all something glorious to look at. Every last character or cast member that was a main cast member, it was such a great movie. I recommend, if you love a good, like a quick, quirky, I thought it was going to be 3 hours. It ended up being like almost two, or maybe it ended up being a little over two. Yes. But it was a great movie. I love the energy of the movie. Like, cause biopics can be a little slow burny and they can be drawn out and it's like all seriousness and intenseness. This was witty and it had like a sex appeal to it. So wholeheartedly recommend. So that was how I did a solo 420 day, which I love me a good solo day. I love me a good movie day, especially when I'm alone, because I really do enjoy my solitude and I definitely enjoy my alone time with myself to do things. So it was great. But you know, that's what's been going on with me, enjoying 420, trying to balance life and work, and also trying to physically plan out my summer because there are so many places that I want to go this summer. Also, a lot of them are work related, but outside of work for my leisure, I'm starting to get into planning mode to start looking, you know, for flights and hotels and rentals and things of that nature. So yeah, that's what's been going on with me. Nothing much other than the norm, working, carrying on, trying to be outside this summer. That's literally how to sum up my last few weeks, dealing with family stuff, dealing with work stuff, life, you know, nothing spectacular, just life happening for an individual. So yeah, I'm going to bring that to a close. So yes, that's weekly, bi-weekly with Kiki, not bi-weekly or semi-weekly with Kiki, because it's not every week or every other week, but it's, you know, is more than bi-monthly sometimes. But anyway, so we're going to start this week, and this is different. This episode came to me with me, of course, realizing some of my own things as always. And I thought about how I never brought this up as an episode in the past, and it's been almost 6 years for this podcast. So I'm going to talk about human fixation this week, and it's literally the psychoanalysis or a psychoanalyst of human behavior based on like sexual nature. So, you know, to those who studied psychology, whether that be in high school, college, if you are a psychologist, if you have your doctorate in this degree, you know the pioneering psychologist, and Sigmund Freud is no stranger to being literally a pioneer for modern day psychology. So he created what I guess we can call like his personality fixations, or like psychological fixations that ultimately shape us as children and shape us as adults, because we're adults more than we are children. Like, you're only a child for 18. Well, that's up for debate, but you're legally only a child for 18 years. The rest of those 60, 70, 80 plus years, you're an adult. You're an aging adult, but you're an adult nonetheless. And he talked about how some of these things, how they shape us in childhood and adulthood. And the three fixations are the most popular, of course, oral fixation, which is what sparked the idea for this episode, me tweeting about having a serious oral fixation. And I'll go into that briefly in a little bit. But anal fixation and phallic fixation. So this week, I am nobody's psychology major. My bachelor's degree is in a whole sociology. I did not want to study the mind of the people. I wanted to study the mannerisms and the hobbies of the people. So psychology is not my realm. I took one psychology course the entire time I was in college, and my study was of the people in society and how society works, which is why we have these conversations. I can go so fucking hard because, believe it or not, I was actually really, really tuned the fuck in with my sociology degree and the studies of sociology and anthropology, the study of people's cultures. Like, this is why people can have these conversations with me. I am, not to go on a tangent, but I am like the generation nerd. Like, when we have this conversation at work, or if I'm having this conversation amongst people and we start breaking down generations, like, I was born to be a demographer. Like, baby, I know millennials, I know Gen X, Gen Y, boomers, the silent generation, the greatest generation. So your girl didn't have anything, bringing it back around, your girl didn't have anything to do with psychology. So this is me reading, knowing how famous, like I said, it has social psychology. We talked about Sigmund Freud, not to the degree of like intensity where it was just like a Freudian course, but it was because he is one of the pioneers, one of the forefathers of modern day psychology. He was discussed. So I want to talk about fixations. For this episode and for this podcast, I would like to talk about, because I can't talk about anyone else, so I have to talk about specifically me in this situation, but I want to talk about those three sexual traits, or the fixation, psychology or psychological fixations, and I want to see how I can incorporate them into my adult life as well as my adult BDSM kink life. So let's get started. Okay, what is a fixation? A fixation is an obsessive drive that may or may not be acted on involving an object, a concept, or a person. Now, I have said several times to people on this podcast, I have an obsessive personality. And to the people who know me personally, especially like Lori gets a kick out of it. When I love something, I am obsessed with it. And the thing about it is, because I have such an obsession with what I love, everyone who's in my space knows what I love. They know my snacks, they know my drinks, they know my colors, because I'm obsessive about it. Like, I cackle when I get in my car, especially with my overnight bag, because I have a green car with a green jacket and a green overnight bag. Guess what my favorite color is, people? Same with pink. Like, those are my two favorite colors. And I also broke down how this was something completely off. I've broken down, I think they broke down astrology based on color, or like why specific colors you attract to certain colors the way that you do. And I think it was broken down almost to my astrology, or either like my chart. It was wild. Like, it was pink and green on the head. This was not something I planned. I just Googled, and if I find it, I'll post it. But, and I Googled it, and I'm like, no, they're just pretty to me. It's aesthetic. Like, green is gorgeous aesthetically. Have you seen nature? Pink is beautiful aesthetically. Have you seen anything that's an overabundance of pink? Like, so, but I have an obsessive personality. So when I love something, I love it. So a fixation being an obsessive drive, me being such an obsessive person, I thought this would be great to tap into for you guys to get an understanding of fixations, and even see if what I tell you from my research, if you can relate to them in a kink or a BDSM aspect. So a fixation is ruled by the pleasure principle. And I instantly think of like Janet Jackson, but because I love pleasure principle. But the pleasure principle is basically stating that we as humans, a basic need of ours is to be motivated to obtain pleasure and avoid ultimately having pain. So I think of that not only from a physical aspect, but I also think of it from a mental and an emotional aspect as well, because I want to be emotionally pleased. I want to be emotionally happy. I don't want to be heartbroken and dealing with that severe emotional pain. So I see how an innate need or an unconscious need to receive these things, because dopamine is great and these things get our chemicals going and make us feel amazing. So I understand why it would be an unconscious decision to seek pleasure versus obviously the obvious pain. So my research showed that the pleasure principle, or the pleasure pain principle, is like an unconscious motivating force that can also drive behavior. How it breaks, it'll break down to how it makes sense with children and how it goes into adulthood in a moment. But it's ultimately talking about how we're unconsciously motivated to always seek to feel good. There was a great analogy when I was reading up on this that was used, and it talked about like the iceberg concept and how, let's say, because we don't have icebergs in New York, you're in Antarctica and you see the tip of an iceberg, and that's genuinely explained as just above the water you see that tiny piece, but you don't see the massive piece that's hidden beyond the water, like below the surface of the water. The bulk of the iceberg is below the water, and that often symbolizes the unconscious mind, which is going back to pleasure principle, going back to being unconsciously motivated to obtain pleasure and seek pleasure. The bottom of that is almost like shadow work. I don't know, to the therapy girlies and guys, but it's almost like that representative at the tip of the iceberg. And this is like you keeping your behaviors, wanting pleasure, consciously motivated to receive pleasure, but keeping it in check because you don't want your behavior to get out of control. That's the tip of the iceberg. And then you have the bottom, which is that unconscious, which is like these thoughts and these desires and these wants and these needs and these urges that you have to keep under control. Because again, if we all just acted on whatever we wanted when we wanted, a lot of us would be killed and a lot of us would be in jail. So I thought the iceberg concept was really phenomenal to explain like fixations for around human sexuality. So, of course, if you're aware of or familiar with how Freud talks about, like, the id, the ego, and the superego, briefly remember that from college. Mind you, I graduated college a smooth 15 years ago. I do not remember anything that was taking place in 2008 because I was in college and it was lit. But we're going to talk about the id, so to speak, and like the libido energies. So according to Freud, the id is the only aspect of the mind thought to be present at actual birth. It operates strictly on the pleasure principle and is at a very unconscious level. Now, the libidinal energy, which is also known as the libido, is considered a biological, obviously, and sexual drive and desires that are heavily influenced by the id. Now, I'm not a psychology girl, but me to break it down for the people who are like, what are we talking about right now? So, your libido are those unconscious desires and wants and needs and urges that you have with your id. However, one, again, iceberg, everything below is running free and completely uninhibited in your mind. However, that tip of the iceberg is where that cap lies. That is the cap of all those unconscious wants, needs, and desires. So the libido is known to be driven or heavily influenced by the id, which are those wants and needs. So we talk about libido. I've talked about libido. This is a sex podcast. There are men who deal with ED, and there are women who are perimenopausal or menopausal where the libido just isn't there anymore. So neither is said desire. But it is said that the id is what drives the libido to seek out the most pleasurable situations possible. So the most pleasurable, and I can't speak for everyone, but for me, the most pleasurable thing that I can achieve is orgasm. It's so good. They're so great. I love them. I wish I could have them all day, every day. I don't actually, because I know how harsh and how hazardous that can be, but it's just a great feeling to have. So, and y'all know pleasure is a hell of a drug, whether you get your pleasure from said drugs or you get your pleasure from the chemical increases of sex, which to me are still drugs when you look at it, because those same drugs that are pumping in our bodies naturally making us feel good are those same drugs that they figured out how to synthesize and sell to you. You know, synthetic dopamine, things of that nature, serotonin, things of that nature. All right, so we're going to jump into this. It's going to be super quick. I'm just going to break down the fixations, and then I'm going to see if I can apply them to my actual life and my actual kink and BDSM life. Okay. Quick episode today, guys. So fixations, oral fixation. So the oral stage is a stage that occurs around birth to 18 months where, you know, oral needs are met, not met, stimulated, overstimulated, understimulated. But the point is, and we've seen it with children, if you've been around children, children explore with their mouths because that's the only way. And it's, again, unconscious, innate. It's just something that's ingrained in our DNA. That's how they all function and maneuver this new space, which is the world that they are now living in. Now, Freud made it a thing, well, not a thing, but he explained how fixations can be due to a few things, like lack of proper gratification during these stages, receiving strong impressions from one of these stages, you know, like manifestations of these instincts at a very early age that can lead to certain other types of fixations. But when it comes to oral, so oral can manifest in different ways as a kid, as an adult. It can be like thumb sucking, kids biting, nail biting, smoking, chewing gum, like drinking consistently or excessively, or just liking to have things in your mouth. And like I said, maybe I should break down how I relate to all of these as I'm doing it, instead of just trying to do it all at once. So the last thing, and this relates to my life completely outside of kink and BDSM. One of the signs of having an oral fixation is having pica. And to those who aren't aware of pica, I learned about pica very young because of what I'm about to say. But pica is the urge, and it's almost unconscious. I've worked on my oral fixation. I'm going to talk about it. It's almost an unconscious need to consume things that are not edible at all. And I'll give you some examples. You might have seen the shows on TLC, like people like, I can't stop eating toilet paper, or I can't stop eating soap. Like, that falls under the category of having an oral fixation. So some of the things are like ice, dirt, cornstarch, chalk, paper, toilet papers, like soap. So for me, it was cornstarch. And when I was a kid, oh God, y'all, I loved cornstarch. Like, I would literally have a box of it with a spoon, eating it like it is Haagen-Dazs. And it took years for me to break out of that. So now, on a psychological level, what the fuck did my mom and dad do or didn't do where I became fixated on having things like in my mouth? I was a nail biter when I was a kid. I grew out of it when I was probably like 10, thank God. But all of these things resonate with me so much in like my childhood. Loved cornstarch. My mom, like, when I would get like money, like birthday money, like, she was like, it's your money, you can do what you want, I'm buying a box of cornstarch. And she's like, what the fuck? I have cornstarch in the house to this day, but as a 36-year-old woman, I can proudly say I've had a few like minor, and when I say minor, out of 100%, it's been like 2% urge to be like, I could just go for some cornstarch, it'll be so good right now. But it's not as bad as it used to be, where I'm like, I need it, like I was like a fiend, it was crazy. So I've come a long way. So that's one of the ways to seek out people who may have like an oral fixation. So how I feel like that can cross over into my kink life and not just like my life, because life, it was a whole pica nail biting gum thing. A kink, you know, BDSM life, I do like giving head. Like, I talked about that. I've had episodes about sucking dick and penis in general because I love it. And I talk about like really liking to give head, and I wish I could explain in detail how good it is to me. It's like, my whole body is like literally a wave of pleasure comes over me as soon as I start giving head, because it is so, what's the word? It is so pleasurable. I guess that's all I can say. It is like, it's just such a wash of like pleasure and satisfaction. Oh my God, I am literally Freud's study subject. Like, I get so much gratification. I really do. It's just like a wave of like, this is great. And I'm not even into it yet, but it's just the fact that it's in my mouth and I'm like, love it so much. So that's when I think of oral, I think of how I like things. I love ball gags. I love giving head. Just something in my mouth, like your fingers, me biting you, something that makes me happy. So I guess when it comes to like having an oral fixation, that's kind of where I stand with it. Now, the second stage of psychosexual development is known as anal fixation. So this is primarily the stage of childhood where you learn to control your bowel movements, or your everything. You're no longer in a pamper. You know, you can go to the bathroom on your own. You're aware of the urges to go to the bathroom of your own. You can say it because you're talking by this time. And there are some things that Freud mentioned. Well, he wrote about when he talked about psychosexuality. And he talked about it being like being an anal retentive person and being an anal expulsive person. So I'm going to break both of those down and see if I can relate to any of them anyway. So three of the examples are typically people with anal fixations tend to have orderliness. So very organized people, obsessiveness. Oh God. And can be a little rigid. So anal retentive individuals are people who in childhood may have experienced overly strict or harsh potty trainings, or I guess that's what the proper term for it. They can tend to grow a little overly obsessed or overly obsessed with like tidiness and cleanliness. So people who are anal retentive or have that personality, they tend to kind of hate mess, being messy, very punctual, respectful of authority, can be a little stubborn, very close-knit with their possessions, tight-knit, very tight-fisted with money, and like, it all kind of stems from childhood and how their parents potty trained them. So crazy, yo. Like, I see a lot of myself in that. I'm very punctual. I just kind of go with the breeze. Like, I've never really, with like authority, I'm not like, you know, Samuel Jackson and Django, but I'm just like, meh, y'all here. I kind of just go with the flow on that. But like, I'm pretty stubborn, apparently. As far as being like tight-fisted, I wouldn't say I fall in that category or anything in my life. Now, in my life, I can't relate to this. In my kink life, when I'm in the kink lifestyle or in being in the kink lifestyle, I'm very respectful of authority unless I am the authority, like, you know, but for the most part, I'm very, very, you know, respectful of authority, like authoritative figures in the BDSM and the kink lifestyle, but more so in like my everyday life. Like, I don't be having problems with these bosses. I can't relate. Like, they love me and we be chilling. That's really it. The next stage, the next personality or next point of the anal fixation stage is anal expulsive personality. And this is based on childhood. Their potty training was a little bit more liberal and they kind of just got to learn it and go at their own pace. So because of that, these people can be, not saying that they are, but these people are known to be possibly a little bit more disorganized as adults and not as restrictive and as literally anal as their counterparts are, because they learn something so important to being a human and living and learn, like potty training, like getting to that phase in life, it being one of the most pivotal moments of a person's life, and they got to go about it kind of like laxed and on a whim. So these people tend to be a little looser when it comes to like their personality. They're not as tightly wound, might not be as punctual, might be a little messy, a little rebellious. So it makes me wonder, like, I'm incorporating myself and I'm thinking, reflecting on my childhood, and like, there was a bad story that happened during my potty training stages. So it would not be a shock to anybody if I was anal retentive, because I won't tell the story because that's just a little too personal for me, and I share a lot on this podcast, but not, I keep my childhood out of it because I'm an adult. But something happened, and it makes me wonder how the regimens were when I was a kid, and I don't remember this because I think I might have been like two, but I wonder what the regimens were, what led to something happening when it did, and me fast forwarding now to 36, and I'm like, am I both? Am I a mixture? Like, were you strict with me and then lenient, or were you lenient and then strict? What happened? So many questions. And of course, my mother is not going to remember what she was doing 34 years ago, because my mom, probably like me, we have the memory of goldfish. She doesn't remember what she did last month. So not even a question to ask her. Now, the last stage is going to be the phallic stage. So some examples of the phallic fixation can be exhibitionism, being prideful, being vain, and we're going to talk about it. So this stage typically happens between the ages of 3 and 6. And apparently, according to Freud, this is a period of a child's life or a human's life where a child's libido or desire, we're not talking about sexual libido, we're literally talking about what I spoke about earlier, how the id, which is the unconscious mind of wanting desire and not feeling pain, leads to libido. You don't want to feel this. You don't want that. You have the desire to do X, Y, and Z so you can feel better. That's what we're talking about. But it's also a point in time where children discover their bodies. Like, you're 5, you're 6, and when you start to change and puberty happens, you really discover yourself as like, oh, I am this. Like, whatever you identify as, like, oh, this is what I feel like for me. And this is the period, like a pivotal moment in human life where a child notices their desires, whether it be them wanting a cookie to be happy, whether them wanting to watch cartoons to feel good. But Freud, being Freud, he does talk about it from a sexual aspect and talk about how, as children, this is one of the important stages of when we recognize, like, our genitals and things of that nature. But more so importantly, that this is a stage where children become very conscious and aware of their bodies. And they become consciously aware of the opposite sex. It happens, obviously, because if it didn't, what would we be doing right now? Would anybody be talking to anybody? But yeah, so this stage, which is the phallic fixation stage, is when we learn and we identify more with the parent that's the same sex as us. And it also is a stage where we could develop complexes, Oedipus, Electra, those complexes of mother, son, daddy, daughters, you know, things of that nature. And, you know, aside from those complexes that it could create, it could also create, like, possible issues in adulthood. So people, men in particular, I'll talk about men right now. Men who have a phallic fixation may have anxiety about sexual performance, or they may need constant reassurance or validation from the opposite sex, which is why they may seek out so many women at one time, because they're looking for that validation and that reassurance. And some of them can be overly aggressive or overly assertive. And I can speak for me as well as some other women. If you all can agree with me, okay. Where we've met this man before, probably several times. It seeps out of you. I always see on the interwebs of men talking about women and their insecurities and them loving themselves and how it's very, very, very obvious. And it's something that like the energy seeps out of us. Same, sir. We know when you're seeking validation to make yourself feel worthy, because that's not something we can do, love. We see it in the insecurities. We see it in the overly aggressiveness, especially when it comes to being told no and being rejected, i.e. not giving you the validation or the reassurance you need, thus furthering your insecurities and making you angry. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Y'all, we know those men, okay? We know them. And women having a phallic fixation can lead to a desire to dominate men, to be rivals with women, and seek the need of male attention for approval. So I don't think I have a phallic fixation at all. And I say that because, like, yes, I do like to dominate men. It is not like an obsessive trait of mine. If I am blessed to have the opportunity to dominate a man, I'm absolutely going to jump on it every time. However, it is not something that I need to have in my life to function as an adult woman. Now, because the Oedipus and the Electra complexes don't really resonate with me, I know they exist out there, because if they didn't, we wouldn't be here. But, you know, Oedipus is a son to his mother. Electra is a daughter to her father. It's giving East Bayou vibes. Love that movie. Tell you one thing, Megan Good did her damn thing. That cast was phenomenal. Deborah Morgan, like, what? Lynn Whitfield, Journey Smollett? Megan Good, baby Megan Good, and Samuel the Big L Jackson, like, phenomenal movie. But definitely heavily Oedipus complex, hated her mother, was in love with her father. You know, we don't have to talk about that, but like I brought these out because I feel like they are the basis of our sexuality and possibly why some of us function, or all of us function, the way we do in life, as well as in a kink life or BDSM lifestyle space. So I just wanted to bring this to the forefront. Quick episode, guys. 42 minutes. Can't even believe I made it to 42. Thought it was going to be a lot quicker than that. But I'll leave off with one last stage, which is latency stage or hidden stage. And that is where we become adults. So that typically happens from 6 to puberty. And it is all of these stages, your desires, your wants, your needs, your obsessive tendencies. And this is the stage where you learn, because again, if you acted out on all behaviors, people would either hurt you, harm you, kill you, or put you in jail. So this is the stage of life where you begin to acknowledge that you have these things, but because of societal norms and your environment, you learn to keep them to yourself or repress, quote unquote. So the latency stage is literally the last stage of adulthood, like going into adulthood for us. And even now, so how that relates to BDSM and kink is not being able to tell anyone, having these urges, having these desires, having these wants and these unconscious needs to do something that might be considered taboo or might be shunned upon based on society's norms, and you don't say anything. You repress it entirely because of the fear or of embarrassment or the possible shame or, you know, the negative aspects of what could happen if you told someone you loved and trust that you were into X, Y, and Z. So I feel like the latency stage is where the stage that a lot of us stay in as adults, because there's so many people who don't talk about it, or they talk about it and they keep it in a very small circle. Like, it's not something that's brought to the forefront of their lives, which is totally fine. If that's how your life is set up and that's how you're living, that's totally fine. There's no issue there. I just told a coworker about, well, he found the podcast. But I just told him, like, some, I gave him a quick rundown of some of the things that I've experienced, because, like, one, I trust this person and I know they wouldn't do anything to, like, violate me. So I feel comfortable, one of my homeboys, you know, I love my guy friends, feel very comfortable talking to my guy friends about my experiences. One, my guy friends are platonic. I don't want them. They don't want me. I like that they can be comfortable with me and tell me about their endeavors. Same, because sometimes I like a man's opinion. I like, you know, and they like having a sound-minded person like me, or I like having sound-minded people around me to give me good feedback, good advice, and, you know, share their experiences and talk about it intellectually without it being like on a sexual turn all the time, you trying to make it something. These are those friends. So I trust this person, which makes me very happy. Because if I trust you, then I tell you about my life. And I mean, here I'm behind a mic, so you really can't see me, but the people who know me know about my life in detail, and the people who don't wouldn't expect a thing unless I told them I had a podcast. So I also get the latency phase, and where we're all just kind of repressed and not talking about out loud and proud what we're into, because we do live in a society that's a little fucked and a little weird. So you got to protect yourself, and you have to protect your mental health and your peace as well. So I get it. All right. And that is going to bring episode 126 to a close. I don't think I have any emails. I checked. The last one I had, I read it to you guys. But if you have any emails that you'd like to send me, whether it's questions, comments, concerns, you need advice, you can email me at kinkswithkiki@gmail.com. I am on Instagram, not as busy as I was for the last 2 months because the girl's tired, but you can follow me there at Kinks with Kiki podcast, as well as on Twitter at Kinks with Kiki. And yeah, this has been an interesting episode. Definitely not really a kinky one, but ultimately discussing the basis of why kink possibly exists in the first place. So I hope you guys have a great Monday. Hope you're still celebrating 420. We're still in April. Have a great week. Stay well. And as always, I am your dose of Black girl in this kinky ass world. And until next time, beautiful people, peace.